Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. God, the needs, the healing, the health, the people. God, that's just us, and then we travel to Israel and the world. And God, thank you for being who you are, for caring. Help us to have understanding that we might be able to stand, to be able to withstand, to be able to honor you the more. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're at the point in the upper room. He is shortly going out in a matter of hours to go and die on the cross. And in the process, all of the disciples, as we shared together many times, their whole world was coming to an end. As far as they were concerned, the Lord being gone, everything else was missing. And they had anticipated and could anticipate imprisonment or death itself for being his follower. So, with that in mind, the Lord is going to help give special help to the 11 disciples that are going to be the 11 apostles. And he's giving them special help. Now, as we share together in going through this very detailed, wonderful section, and this is the information God has given for us to know what to do in our time on planet Earth. So therefore, chapter 14, we share together that they understood that he had offered them peace. His peace we share together in verse 27. God gave that, not as the world. And he then, having said all of those wonderful things, without repeating them all, you could read them up to verse 27. Awesome, awesome, wonderful truth. Now, but it isn't going to sink in, and he knows that. He knows that. It will, and he told them it will, but it wasn't then. So they were hearing awesome, wonderful truth. But it wasn't going to be received. It wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to come together until afterwards. They had to have a heart for it, and they weren't ready. Now, so therefore, the Lord knowing this, yet saying all these things to them, my peace I leave unto you, saying all of these wonderful truths. Then, verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Now he's going to say, listen, I've been talking to you and telling you all of these awesome, wonderful things. Have you been listening? Have you been hearing? Therefore, back over to chapter 14, verse 28, I have heard how I, have you heard, you have heard, been hearing, you already have it, how I had said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. Chapter 14, if I may, and remember now, not to be troubled in the light of the present, in the light of the future. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now you ought to be excited. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, chapter 14, verse 28. You have heard, I go away, and I'm coming again. Now, I told you that. Were you listening? I'm going to do a wonderful thing. I have to go away to make it all happen, to make it all come together. Okay? Therefore, so now, in verse 28, and now, he's going to say, that which we need to pay attention to. If verse 28, if you love me, you would rejoice. If you love me. Now the little word if, a second condition, it isn't true. If you love me, but you don't. You don't love me. That's the word. If, and it isn't true. If you love me, but you don't. You don't love me. Hang on. You don't love me. And the word love, if you can put it that with the love, you were continuously, if you were imperfect. If you were continuously loving me, you would be loving me now, but you don't. If you had been loving me, you would continue to love me, but you don't. You aren't loving me. He's talking all about it, but they hear a lot of things, but doesn't sink in. Therefore, if you love me, you'd be all excited if you hear it. You don't love me. Love me. If you love me, you would, verse 28, if you love me, you would rejoice. If you love me, you would rejoice. You would be rejoicing if you love me. I told you, if you love me, you would be so glad. I told you I'm going to, in my Father's house in many mansions. I told you what I had to do and be. If you love me, you'd really be happy. Glad. Rejoicing. Gladness. Because, why? Because I said, I go unto my Father. I'm going to the Father. That's so exciting. Just keep in mind without looking it all up. I came from the Father, John 16. I came from the Father. I'm here for the Father. I'm going back to the Father. Do you understand? It's about God's wonderful person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's about the Father, all of us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all of us emphasizing our wonderful deity, our being, our essence, our nature, by way of pointing to the Father. He's the Father. And we all lift him up, and we're all lifted up. The Son is lifted up. God the Holy Spirit is lifted up. God is lifted up. God is glorified. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, you would have rejoiced that I'm going to the Father. And for my Father is greater than I am. He's greater than me. Now, what does that mean? God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are all equal in every way, shape, and form. Then how do we read that? Understand? Hold your finger over to John chapter 5. What do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity? John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father and I are one. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because they knew exactly what he was saying, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So there's no question. We Jews understand. You're saying you're God. That's correct. Now, if I can, sliding down to verse 19. Jesus is going to help them. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He's just in his perfect humanity. He is made for perfect deity, for God to show his wonderful person and presence in the person made in his image and likeness. Our Lord was born at Bethlehem of Judea. And therefore, verse 19, but what he saith the Father, what saith, what he the see, seeth the Father do, for what though what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I represent the Father. Do you understand, said the Lord? In my perfect humanity, I put on a human house, Bethlehem of Judea, and I put on a human house to be your Savior. I could not be your Savior unless I became a man, unless I became of the line of Adam. I came of the line of Adam. I am the last Adam, and I'm going to the cross. And that's the only way you can ever come to grips with me. How? By way of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, born in Bethlehem of Judea, dying on the cross and rising again. The only way you can know my Father, by way of the Son, in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, is going to go and say, listen, now hang on, you'll see it in a sec there. Now God, that's what you're looking at, that's right. And I want you to know, it's the most exciting thing in forever. It isn't about me going to the cross. That just makes something possible. What's it make possible? For you to know God, your Maker. That's what it's about. It isn't about me. That's why the Lord Jesus is going to say, don't look at me. When you look at me, you want to see him. Now, hang on to that, because if, and here's all the world about us, we have the political world. In the political world, tell me how close you get and understand God. In the political world. In the educational world, tell me how you get to understand and close to know God. Not creation, but to know God. You don't. In religion, tell me how close you get to God. Then you have to think about it. Well, the Buddhists and the pantheists and the different, all different ones in all different ways and all different shapes and sizes. But any of you guys know God? Really? You won't hear them say that. No, sir. You can't know God. You can't know God apart from Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Now, what did it mean? So you need to come to know him. Because God, you express yourself in a humanity that we can understand. We're made in the image and likeness, so therefore we're able to understand the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. But they failed to see, they failed to see God, if you love me, but you don't understand who I am. You're the Messiah, you're the Mashiach, you're all of this. You don't understand who I really am. You just don't know. If you love me, you would know. But you don't love me. Not yet. You see me. You see the humans. Just think of the Sunday school. We're new creatures in Christ. Think of that wonderful truth. But you don't see God. You Jews, Gentiles, I don't see. How do I see you? How do I see you, remember, from Sunday school? Now. So God, here's all the religion, all the social different forms and philosophies and practices. But socially, politically, religiously, educationally, apart from God, you don't know. You don't know him. You talk about him, write about him, but you don't know him. So therefore, if there's no God, there's no peace. No peace. If you know God, no peace. If you K-N-O-W know God, then K-N-O-W you'll know peace. You can't know the awesome benefits apart from the Lord Jesus Christ to know him in an awesome way. Therefore, now, God, here we are. I want you to know You should be so excited now. And I know people get excited about something sometime. And, you know, there's some kind of a baseball game going on somewhere. And in the process, I bet some of you are excited. You, yay, see? They come to basketball, yay, see the football. And some of you are excited because you're learning in school. And you get excited, don't you get it? Probably not much. Remember, you used to get excited. You go to school, and you're waiting to hear the next lesson. Remember that? You can't get to school fast enough. Yeah. Anyway, because you're excited about learning. Wow. God said you ought to be excited that I told you. I'm going to my Father. Do you understand? No, we don't understand. What's wrong with you staying here and feeding us and helping us and doing miracles and stuff? Why not just stay here and help us? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Another 3 years? No. Nothing will ever happen. It'll only be evidencing my wonderful person by miracles and signs and wonders. And you'll never know. No one will ever know. No one can get to God until I die on the cross in the most awesome sense. So I've got to go to the cross. And if you guys just understood that, I stood before you and I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the where? No man cometh unto the what? I don't have it, it's there. No one comes to the Father but by me. What's it all about? To get to the Father. I've been telling you all the signs and all the wonders and all the works I did were from the Father to bring you what? So you, when you look at me, you would find God, the Father, and understand God's awesome person. I'm going to the Father. It'll make it all wonderful. All of the statements I said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it, et cetera, et cetera. All of that would happen. It is impossible unless I go to the Father. You guys should all be jumping for joy. But they're very sad and sorrowful. Wow. Now, therefore, over if you would please, just to pick up the flavor. Remember I said I have to go. So over to the book of Acts. If you read Luke, you could, 24, but go to Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, what do we have? God, this is what God said in the after his resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, you want to be all excited, I'm going to go to the Father. That's what I'm going to do. And that's going to make wonderful things happen. So he's trying to help them after his resurrection. And Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of him, of me. For John truly baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified with water, to be identified with something. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, pretty soon. All of the wonderful things I said are going to happen. They're going to be very real. They had to wait, and they did wait. They were smart enough to wait, and they waited. They did. Now, in the light of the Father, what is so awesome about the Father in your life? Well, do you know God in his almightiness, in his awesome being and person? God has a wonderful will and plan for your life. Over if you would please, and whatever God's will is for you and me or anyone is the best there is. It isn't your dreams. It isn't your aspiration. I prepared in school with 10 different schools and 25 different degrees. All of that. Or I have no degrees, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't make any difference. It isn't where you got a job. I have a job. I have this. I have. No, it isn't about my family. No, no, no. God said, listen, what you want to know is, you want to understand the most awesome thing in the world is for you to understand I am your creator and your savior, and I have a plan for you in my one in my wonderful person that I had for you before the angels were created. And you ought to seek it with all your heart. Now, John chapter 6. God's wonderful will. That's right. The Father's will. All I'm going to do is just rehearse it to you. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, that's the Father. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is the Father's will? The Father's will, what did the Lord say in John chapter 14 in the beginning? I want you to be what? In my Father's house. And go back over there. I'm just going to say it to you. But I want you to see it. Because that's God. I'm just telling you the words. You want to see the words. God said them. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I want you to be where I am. That's what I want you to be. It's my Father's will to be in my Father's house where I am. That's what I want. That's pretty good. You should be glad I'm going away. You can't get there unless I go away. Unless I go to the cross and rise again, you can't get there. Because. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to show us the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us for the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ seats us with the Father in the Son, seated in heavenly places. I want you to be there. That's pretty good. My mansions. No, go past mansions. I want you to be seated where I am with me. I have a little, very nice apartment over here with gold faucets like down in Rhode Island. No, it isn't the mansion. You're seated with me. Do you understand? That's what's awesome. You don't have to come and visit me. You're with me. Now, therefore, I could do more, but you got that. Now, a little bit. Here's the Father's will. The Father's will is the very, 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 very best. And the Father's love pursues what is best. There's no question. God, you're going to pursue it. I am. And I want to pursue what is best. I want you to have all of the very best. No question. Now, over if you would to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. Of all different places, just to remind you and myself, God's wonderful, wonderful will, God's wonderful, wonderful love pursues what is best for us. And we have a Father. Our Father in heavenly places knoweth what we need, and he knows that before we even ask him. Matthew chapter 6. So therefore, here's his wonderful Father's love, and the Father loves us. And remember now, without turning back, in John 14, 21 and 22, 23, 24, the Lord Jesus said, I am going to be in you. My Father's going to be in you. We are going to be in you, my Father and I. So therefore, my little heart and your little heart, if you receive him as your Savior, becomes the home of the Father. The Father. How's that going to be? Unless I go to the Father, that can't happen. Do you understand? The Father can't come to you unless I go to the cross. You ought to be glad I told you I'm going to the cross. But you aren't. You're all sad. That's because you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. It's beyond humans. That's why people don't want to believe that that's possible. But it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God in his great love. Blessed, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And what's he going to do? Comfort, encouragement, etc. What's he going to do? He's going to comfort us in all our tribulation, pressure, squeezing. Verse 4, in order that we may be able to comfort, be able to be encouragement to them which are in trouble. In other words, we're going to be able to share the wonderful, wonderful benefits that God is benefiting you, and you are an encouraging person. You are a victorious person. You are fully assured. In the midst of this, we're all sinking in the great ship here, but you are really comfortable going down under. All of them aren't. And you want to have that comfort showing. Absent from the body, what would you say? Present with the Lord. And they all have to, they need to be comforted. Where are they going to see any comfort? Ship's going down. In you. You're a comfort. You're an encouragement. Getting flu, sick, and replacement this and replacement of that. And if we live long enough, they'll be able to replace everything, and you'll just be a tin man, like in The Wizard of Oz. That's all you'll be. Wow. No, God, it's an awesome thing you're doing. That's right. And I want you to know, in all of the tough things you do, I'm there. I'm there to make it happen. I'm the God of all comfort. I'm the Father. You're in the Father's house. You're seated with my Son. And you have my will for your life is to have what I want. And what I want, I love you. I want to show your wonderful relationship, not to a skunk, not to a person, not to any person. I want to show your wonderful relationship, mother, father, brother, sister. No. I want to show your relationship to Almighty God. That's what it's about. I want to show your relationship to God. The God of all comfort. Now, having said that, that's because you love us. That's right. That's right. I want the very best. There's no question. No question about that. And while you're here in 2 Corinthians, turn over to chapter 6, since you're already here. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And the Father, if I can, picking up if I may. And now, we're going to go and understand we have a unique relationship to God. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, fellowship, hath light with darkness? 14, sliding down. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in you, dwell in them, and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be, that's what you want. You read all of that, I'll be your father. How do you replace the father? I don't know. I'll tell you how. To know God the Father. All human fathers like us disappear. But he never does. Now, therefore, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God, we're looking. God, you have a wonderful plan for our life, your will, you're going to do it. And you love us so that you're going to go, and the thick and thin of it, you're going to keep at it. Are you going to quit? No, like in John 13. And the love of God persist. The love of God insist. Persist, insist. Love of God doesn't quit. Doesn't quit. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, so here we are looking, God, and in your wonderful, wonderful wisdom, and the what you know what you love, and you pursue it, and you do it in a way that's all wise and all knowing. That's right. I do that which is very, very best. That's what I do. And what does the world think about that? They don't. But you know me. And you know what about me? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians in chapter 1, and picking up, if I may, starting, you get the idea of it, verse 19, as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe, the lawyer, the expounder? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So what do we know? Well, God, you look at the world system that seeks to say that their created being, the reason of flowers and sun and moon and stars, the reason of the weather, the reason of the seasons, the reason of the solid safety of the creation that we live in, stability of it, is because of you, God. They will not acknowledge you. They don't want to acknowledge you. But you are the one. You make it all work. You're the creator of heaven and earth and even our own life. And therefore, what have you done with the world? I've made it foolishness. Evolution and all these different things. Foolishness. I made it foolishness. That's what I did. Now, so here's the flesh trying to honor itself. No flesh shall glory in my presence, human. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in my presence. So sliding down, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, foolishness. But unto that, think of the Sunday school in the light of that. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now the point I'm trying to get at is help you, help me. Understand what? God, you're making it, the world's doing what it's saying, it excludes you, thinks it's wise, think of Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God, we don't need you. God said, that's the flesh, that's us. Now, therefore, God, verse 26, for you see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and not many noble are called. In other words, wise intellects and trying to analyze everything and criticize everything and that come up with nothing. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things, the lowest things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But You of him, of God, are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption, and all of it. God, you are the complete package. That's correct. I am all of it. I am. I know. In my wisdom, I make the world's wisdom look silly. So when we're trying to talk from our human standpoint, analyze all of the truths and the wonderfulness of reality, of what it really is. God really made the flowers. God really controls all of the universe. 2 trillion, I don't know how they ever know that, galaxies that they profess to see. 2 trillion, I don't understand that. God is there. But we don't look up, I don't see God. Look out, I don't see God. Look at each other, don't see God. There is no God. I have made all of that, the wisdom of men, foolishness. Foolishness. And I've taken people who are willing to give me credit for being who I am, whosoever's that would believe. And I'm saving them. And I become to them everything that they aren't. I am to them all things. Therefore, in your wonderful will, in your wonderful love, in your wonderful wisdom, in your wonderful wisdom, you have chosen to compare, contrast the world system in its wisdom and God in his saving grace. Look over in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world... 21, the chapter 1, 21. The world, after the wisdom in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we're one of the whosoever's that are foolish enough to believe. God said, and you 11 have come all the way at 3 1/3 years. I'm going to leave. It's all been all about, I've been trying to tell you, it's about going to the Father, making it all happen, to bring you to God. You ought to be glad. Oh, we're sad. Life isn't like it used to be. It doesn't need to be. You don't want it to be. If I stay with you another year, yay. But then there's forever. Now what do you got? Nothing. The quicker I get there, the surer and better is your future. to know me, the Father. You ought to be so excited. I'm going to the Father. And you're going to pray what? In my name. To the Father. Why are you going to pray in my name to the Father? Because the Father showed himself in the Son. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. How are you going to get to God apart from me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. So God, in your matchless wisdom, you know exactly what is best and how to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely. God, do you ever make mistakes? Never. Do you ever need to update anything? Never. Is there any moment in our human time, eternity even, is there any given moment in forever that you aren't going to be perfect in what you do? Never. Never. God, you let me fall. Uh-huh. I'd even let you get a bloody nose. Fix your nose. Get back to what you're doing. But you let me fall. I did. That's how you learn to walk. And all of you, when you were little, I'm sure you, unless you're a very exception, you were little, and you learned to walk, didn't you? And when you learn to walk, don't you do it? Watch little ones, they're learning to walk, and let them loose on the floor. Brrr, they go. And you know what? The big post is in the way. Does that matter? Not at all. move the, I'm going to hit the post to move it. The little kid doesn't know any better. Wow, boom, down he goes. And how many times you must have fallen, broken your, whatever you did, cuts, bruises, and here you, splinters, and here you are. Wow. And all of that had to happen in that growing up. We're in the world. If you were in heaven, you would have never got a splinter. Does that make sense? You would never get a cold. But you aren't in heaven. You're on earth. That's 1st and 2nd Corinthians chapter 1, 3, 4. The comfort, the comfort. That's why you got to get splinters the same as everybody else. Because they get splinters. And you handle the splinters differently than they do. Wow. And they need to see that. How about that? Now, so here's God's wonderful wisdom. Wonderful wisdom and his awesome, awesome power. His awesome power. And that's what God's going to give us. That's what you have in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you go, and you shall receive power, power, dynamite, dynamic, wow. Be my witnesses. My witnesses. When you represent me, you have to represent the Father. I represent the Father. I, in you, bring you the Father, bring you to the Father as God the Son. I bring you to God the Father. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that real and right and work. And all you need to do is believe. Believe me. And it's real. No, that's the trouble. You don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're blinded. And you don't see. I don't see. Try believing. Try believing. Not sit there like the man, he was a smart person with a child. Remember, demon possession. Then the father said, help thou mine, what? Help thy mine unbelief. He at least was smart enough to say, God, I'm not believing, but I ought to be. Because it's sort of stupid, all right, to say that. Stupid not to believe. How can you, it's real. You don't have to understand it. You have to understand it's real. Then go for it. Therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, over to Romans chapter 8. We didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit to get to the Father. It's an, they should have been excited. God said, listen, I'm going to do what I'm doing for you is going to, you won't know till tomorrow. But you ought to be glad I'm doing it. So therefore, hang in there. You can't know tomorrow till you get there. You got to hang in there to have it. Oh, I don't feel, no, hang in there. Wow. Now, Romans chapter 8, you'll remember, God's wonderful will. Over in Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings, with that which cannot be uttered. We could not understand it. And he that searcheth the hearts, God the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, because he maketh intercession, what, the Spirit of God's talking to God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're talking about what? God's will. God's love, God's wisdom, God's power. Talking about God doing what he's doing. He's being he's being God. That's what. And he maketh intercession according to the will of God. That's what he's doing. And not only that, dear friend, but God's doing in his wise and all-wise thing, he's doing a wonderful thing. He's making and changing you, verse 29, verse 29, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's making you like his Son. He's not making you like you. He's making you like his Son. So we didn't get that far in Sunday school, but that's what it's about. He's going to make us like his Son. That's what it's going to be. Wow, that's an awesome thing. That's right. I'm going to make you like my son. So what are you doing now? I'm making you like my son. In my will, in my love, in my wisdom, in my power, I'm making you like my son. You should be glad I went to the Father to make you all that the Father has in mind. And you especially in the church age to have what Moses will never have and the people in the millennium will not have. But you will have it. You will have what no one else has. Wow. No. Yeah. And we don't understand. God said it's a wonderful thing. And then we said, yeah, well, I went to church. I did my thing. No. No, it ought to be an understanding that we're here because of he's there. And he's there here with us so that we can handle this. That's why we're together in his presence. Wow. Therefore, the key to optimism, the key to biblical optimism is the Spirit of God's ministry. It isn't your thinking. It isn't what he said. It's the Spirit of God who makes that real. And God is doing what he's doing right now. And you aren't feeling it. You aren't smelling it. You aren't tasting it. But it's happening right now. And you're optimistic and assured because of his person. Not because of you or anyone else. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is doing his work. Wonderful. And the antidote to pessimism, despondency. God, you're the antidote for optimism and for despondency. God, how so? John chapter 8. And you'll notice, please, if I may, John chapter 8, picking up why. Why optimism? The antidote for any negativism in a good way. John chapter 8, verse 8, chapter 8, I should say, in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as full sons in the Son. And therefore, that's what happened when he went to the cross to go to the Father, whereby we're able to say, Abba, Father. How about some other big intellectual things? No. What you need to know, I have brought you, said the Lord, to the Father. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to help you know it. Father! My Father! Ah, optimism. Yeah, my Father. What's the Spirit of God's ministry doing? He's never going to, present tense, Galatians 4 and Romans 8, he never stops. He continually impresses the human heart that's believing. Remember your Father. Father, Father. Without you, our Lord said, Father, without you, I can do nothing. Ah, Father, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. And as you're without reading, and we know that all things work together for good. Why? Because God loves us. And because we're looking to God. And we're letting God be God. And if you let God be God, he's God. You don't have to help him. Just let him. Thank him. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work. Spirit of God, thank you. Our Father, we look to you to help us in every way. God, thank you for our Lord. And because of him and by him, we're able to come and know you. God, in the name of our Lord, we're coming looking to you because of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're able to come and know you, our Heavenly Father, in a heavenly way, a most holy way, and an awesome, happy way to be assured. Not because of anything about us, but everything about you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.